she said, "You're not going to be able to do this. I would not do it if I were you. You have a
Wow.
child. You got to spend a lot of time doing films. You got to, the old school way of splicing film and things that aren't necessarily used today because of the technology." And I said, "I'm going to do it anyway."
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Leo Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Munoz, and on today's episode, I had the honor to talk with Kylie Romero, founder of Career Peace and co-owner of Smooth Mortgage Company. Kylie Romero is a businesswoman, entrepreneur, and career coach with 15 years of award-winning sales and corporate experience. She is one of the very few women of color to own a mortgage company in the United States. She is a badass Latina who won in mediation against a multi-billion dollar corporation and took that adversity into helping career individuals establish a rock star reputation and fast-track their career using her Career Peace model. Kylie has consulted corporations, artists, and brands. She's worked in many areas of media, has a film degree, and will be making her directorial debut in 2022. I can't wait for you to listen to today's episode, so let's just get right into it. Let's just begin where you're from and just where you're joining us at.
Yeah, well, right now I'm in Irvine, California. So I've been here since mid-August. I'm back here. My daughter is a writer and an actress. And so we were in Hollywood from 2013 to about 2015. Then we were back in Arizona. And so now we're back here after COVID and everything. And she's well, and thank God. And so we're back in Southern California for her to continue pursuing her dreams. And she's been blessed to write for some of the, biggest entrepreneurs and artists out there. So yeah, so that's why we're here. It's beautiful. We're blessed with great weather. So
yeah, that's amazing. And so does film run in film, like runs your family, right? I know you mentioned you've been filming since you were like 6 years old or something, correct?
Yeah, I was in Kidco. Arizona used to be a major place where film was created. So Tucson, Arizona for several years was where all the Westerns were filmed, a lot of Clint Eastwood films. And so I was in a film called Kidco, and I was also in Desert Bloom and some commercials and things like that. And then I decided to go to school for film, and I worked on The Scorpion King back in 2001. I didn't know who The Rock was at all, but ended up giving him a 30th birthday party. And I don't know if he remembered me at all, but he was just such a nice guy. And I just thought, not knowing anything about wrestling, and he was already known, but that was his first leading role, thinking this guy's going to be huge. And yeah, he is huge. So that was the last major production that I worked on. I had a opportunity to work on The Matrix. I forget which one, but my daughter growing up being a single parent and her being chronically ill, I kind of put that on the shelf and did a film about 3 years ago, have mentored people, and now will be making my directorial debut in 2022. So putting that film degree to use after all this time.
Wow, that's amazing. You have, I'm impressed by all the things that you've accomplished and you're still doing. Like you have so many things that you're working on. You're doing like film, you're businesswoman, right? You're an entrepreneur with all the things you're doing. And how did you like get to this point, and how do you balance everything? Like, was it always like this, or was there a certain point where you're just like, you know what, I'm just going to launch myself and put myself out there? Like, did tell us how you got to where you are.
I've worked behind the scenes a lot, and to be honest, I don't really love social media. I'm somebody who likes to kind of put their head down and work, but I know that being on social media is such a big part of being able to show your work and tell your story. So I'm just kind of like took my personal account off private, have another account, have a business account. But really, I grew up with parents who just always instilled in me that I could do anything that I wanted to do. I know that's a lot easier said than done. My father, I don't come from a family of people that complain. I come from a very large military family. There's actually 40 and counting Latinos that have served in the military in my family, in every branch of the military. And, I get the chills talking about it because just that legacy and carrying that forward. But really, I come from a space of people that just really move forward. And, a lot of times that's good, but a lot of times you also have to make sure that you are taking care of yourself as well. But being a young parent at 19, and now you have people having, three, four, five kids and not married, it was a lot less acceptable back then. And I think doing that was the most challenging piece of my life ever. And so I kind of felt like if I can have a child and graduate from college on time, then kind of the sky's, the limit. I also had a sister that passed away of a car accident in 2002, and just always hearing her voice in the back of my head. I just feel like those things were so challenging that any career type of thing is manageable and doable. But I do have a pretty strict morning routine that I have. I really block out that time with prayer, meditation, reading, turn my phone off, not look at my phone, and do blocks of time of I'm going to do this for an hour, whether it's, working on my script. I'm going to take 4 hours out of my day working on Smooth Mortgage and the other four working on building my online coaching program, career piece. So it's really about discipline, and everything at the end of the day is about mindset. It's all about the way we see things. And that's also easier said than done as well. But if you can take, you've got a phenomenal story too. If you can take the adversity that you've been through and you can use that as wind on your back and prevail. And so, I actually showed up to the Scorpion King. I found out that it was being filmed in like the middle of Arizona in Yuma in the sand dunes. I drove out there. I'd been out of college for about a year, met with a really nice guy by the name of Andy LaMarca. He's passed away since, but he was behind some of the biggest films. And I said, hey, I want to work on this movie. Yeah. I just went into his office and he's like, you're hired. So I was on set in a hotel and working side by side with The Rock. And everyone was so excited for me. But like I said, I didn't know really who he was. I didn't have brothers. We didn't watch. I have three sisters. I didn't watch wrestling. So just really being prepared, but also taking a risk. And I think so much about what we do is about presentation, but it's, it's funny you asked me this question about time. I've got to get a little bit better at time management because I'm adding more things on my plate. And as we do that, we need to make sure that we're being strategic about each project that we take on to give 100%. So I block out time and I can, dive deeper into that as well, but really about just being super focused on what you're working on at the time. Even if you're starting a script, you write 5 words a day and just tiny little steps, one little habit, 1% better every day. And I think people look at something like, I want to make a film, and they start comparing themselves. And so it's just really about mindset and putting yourself around the right people. If you don't have those people at your immediate disposal, give them a call, shoot them a text, shoot them a, follow people that inspire you. And so that's, what I've done. I always think, okay, I've raised a daughter who's now a young adult. My sister passed away. Those are real things, right?
Right. Yeah.
So if some client or somebody says no to me or like you and your journey, big deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's all about perspective. Not that I'm not hurt, but everything is about attitude at the end of the day.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's how you choose to move forward. Like you said, I'm all about mindset. I'm with you on that. And I especially love what you said about the 1% at a day or five words a day. If you're writing a script, that's huge. That's kind of like what I apply to as well to my podcast. If I'm doing like a script for it, like a research and one day I can't, like, it's like too much information. I'm like, at least I have like something down.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Do you think like, well, first of all, I just want to say that, wait, so you interacted with The Rock? Like,
I did. I
that's amazing. Turning,
I did. I was in a Hummer with him and this other actor, and I can't remember his name, but his arm, I had never seen, like, his arm was like the width of my body.
Even and, back then.
He was super nice. The Rock, everything that you see about him on social media, that's him. And so when I met him, I mean, I was like, wow, because he's just this presence. And his wife at the time, who is still his business partner, Danny Garcia, she was pregnant of their now young adult daughter. But Andy LaMarca said, can you throw him a party? We're in like the middle of like the desert with like four hotels, and every hotel is packed with the Scorpion King. There's like 50 semis. And so I said, okay. So I kind of worked with the staff and threw him his party, and I met him. But a lot of times watching the daily footage, which is what was shot that day, there would be me, The Rock, the producer, and the editor. And I'm like, how did I get myself in, to this room? The industry was much different back then. You had to live in California. There was no YouTube, there was no social media. And so you know, like I said, I didn't get a lot of the opportunity really because I wanted to raise my daughter around family in Arizona and have her have that stability, and had no idea that she was going to want to do the same thing. And so, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Ooh. I love that. It's funny because I was just watching a movie with The Rock in it too. But anyways, I was going to touch on, you have such great like approach at everything. Do you think, you mentioned that you come from a military family. Do you think that has had some kind of influence on the way that you perceive things as well? Maybe just passed down through family, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I have two great uncles who I need to see. I haven't been able to see them since I've been here. One's 95 and one's 88. And they were both in the military and they have really good attitudes. I mean, they Uber, they know everything online, they golf, they're in really good health. And my grandmother lived until she was almost 97, but she had such a great attitude. And so she worked on planes as a young woman. And so at one time, I think there were six siblings serving. My grandmother came from a sibling, I think there was 12 or 13 of them. And so all at once, one of my great uncles was lost at sea for a while and they thought he was dead. So there's actually something in development about, that's going on, but really, you know, my father's very disciplined. I've never heard my father complain. He's almost 70 years old. He still works full time. He's still at the top of his game in his corporation. You know, my sisters, you know, I just come from a family of people that just try, you know what I mean?
And
support me. You know, I was a young mom and they said, okay, you have a child, but you could still do whatever you want. And it was, you know, it's difficult now, you know, to be a parent, but, you know, 20 years ago, it was kind of like, oh, you know, you have a kid. And even now people meet me and they're like, their faces, they're like, how can you have a daughter that old? And so, you know, it's something I've always, you know, dealt with, but as I'm getting older, I don't mind it, you know, as much, but, you know, the military mindset is, you know, amazing. And, you know, I never served, but I absolutely think that watching them generation after generation, just perseverance has definitely taught me and put me where I am today.
Wow. Yeah, no, I love that. And you mentioned the single mom life as well. And I mean, that's not something to skip over because it is not easy. And you've accomplished everything you have while having your daughter and raising her and getting her such a amazing path to her career as well. And that's amazing. And I applaud you for that. How did you manage to go to college and raise your daughter as well? You know, that's something that a lot of people that I know even have to juggle and are wondering like how, for all the moms listening as well, like how they can accomplish that as well, because it's not easy.
Yeah, I think, you know, I had a great support system. You know, my mom and my sister said, go to school full time and we'll take care of Taylor. That's my daughter's name, while you're in school. When I signed up for the film program, now the film program is pretty good. You know, back when I went, it was, you know, I'll just be honest, it was okay, right? USC, but that was my option, right? And so the woman said, you have a child. And I said, yeah. She goes, you're not going to be able to do this. You know, that being said, today would be all over Twitter, right?
Who Social said media. That?
One of the deans.
One of the deans? That. Wow.
She said, you're not going to be able to do this. I would not do it if I were you. You have a child. You got to spend a lot of time doing films. You got to, you know, the old school way of splicing film and things that aren't necessarily used today because of the technology. And I said, I'm going to do it anyway. And I did, but I would not be where I am today if I didn't have the support of, I didn't have to worry about paying for childcare. And you know what I mean? And it was either you're going to go to school full time or you're not going to get your education and you're going to work. But I was in school or at home. You know, I wasn't going out. I'd go out here and there. My mom would say, you know, go out. But a lot of times I think I'm not going to remember the Saturday night where I was out dancing. I'm going to remember the Saturday night I was at home moving my career forward. So a lot of my peers, you know, haven't had the opportunities I've had because of, you know, they were partying. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You really have to, you know, juggle. I think again, you know, having a support system, whether it's your friends or your family there to push you along with your kids, and just know that now it's so much more acceptable. You know, I can't find a better word, but it's so much more acceptable to have a child by yourself, you know, and there's not so much discrimination, you know, because there was a lot, you know, when I had my daughter. And, you know, a lot of really silly things said to me. And still to this day, I posted that photo, and a guy reached out to me and said, "Who's the girl with you in the picture?" And I said, "It's my daughter." He's like, "No way. That's crazy. And, well, who did you think it was?" And so, you know, instead of being so focused on that, can you be focused on my, you know, accomplishments? So for all the young moms out there, single moms, it is the hardest job. You know, it's the most important job to me, and it's the hardest job, but you just have to take sometimes one minute by minute, one hour by hour, and don't put so much pressure on yourself, or realize that everything you're doing is for your child. And for me, my daughter was my, you know, that was my thing now. It wasn't going out or men or those kinds of things. It was, you know, and that paid off too. You know, it's not easy. But if you look at it, nothing's easy. So I would just say, you know, community, and you got to have that mindset, and be gentle with yourself too, and stop putting so much expectation on yourself to do everything 100%, because honestly, nobody does.
Yeah, no, absolutely with you on that. And you touched a little bit on juggling your career path as well. And you said you worked under Scorpion King, right? What was it, a year right after college?
Yeah, it was in 2000, in May of 2001.
Yeah, okay. And so tell us how, like, career-wise, like, what kind of things you overcame, you went through, just to get to where you're at the point where you're like, I also want to be an entrepreneur, and this is, I want to do my own thing, start my own company, and launch myself as a career coach as well, right?
Yeah, well, after, you know, I worked for some of the largest companies in sales, medical sales, human resource sales, software sales. And, you know, you're either going to work your butt off for somebody else, or you're going to work your butt off for yourself.
Amen.
So for me, I just always wanted to, you know, the entrepreneur spirit. I come from entrepreneurs, and thought, you know what, I partnered with someone in the mortgage company. And I said to him, you know, why don't you start your own mortgage company? You're giving, you know, half of your paycheck to the broker that you're working with. And this is a very frank conversation. And he's liked the marketing, the human resource background that I had come from. And so we started Smooth Mortgage Company, which just trademarked the name. It's out of Chicago, Illinois. And then I've been helping mentor artists. You know, I'm the person called Kylie for over 10 years now. And now I just decided to bring it to a company and really focus on individuals. Almost 10 years ago, I was living in LA. My daughter got very ill. She was, you know, I didn't know, you know, what the outcome would be. She was on the cardiac floor at Cedars-Sinai, and I was not treated well, you know, by the company I worked for. And I had documented new laws and understood them better than this multi-billion-dollar corporation, and won a mediation against them. And that gave me a tremendous amount of confidence. And it was one of the lowest points, you know, other than my sister passing away, my daughter being sick like that, and the hopelessness that you feel, one of the hardest points of my life. But when you're in that really hard struggle, when you actually have to pay attention a little bit more. And that's what people don't understand. A lot of people, adversity hits, and they start slacking in the job or in their personal family, or you know, whatever's going on in their personal lives. I mean, you actually have to just step it up a little bit, you know, just a little bit. Document, print out emails, have important conversations with family. That's what really saved me. Working alongside the bed of my daughter, and I would say, you know, how I'm being treated isn't right. But I changed the lives through my horrible situation has paid off for other people. You know, you know, I may not have seen the best working environment, but there's a lot of people, thousands of employees that will come after me that will see that. So with that, you know, behind me, I thought, you know what, I kind of felt like I could do anything at this point. Like I could open up my own business, I could do this. And I started to consult companies on hire to retire, right? So how do we attract and retain top talent? How do you keep those people? How do you keep yourself from getting sued, for the lack of a better word? But I started having individuals come to me, in their career space. And so career pieces is something I have been working on for a while, just kind of put it into an actual fruition just this past week. And it's about finding that some piece in your career. And what are the three things that you can do? Well, it's what questions to ask during the interview after you get the job, what behaviors lead to success, how do you document those successes, and also how to prevail in any work environment. So it's career professionals, recent college grads, but really that kind of, you know, the worst things in our lives, you know, can often turn out to be the best, you know, depending on what we do with it, because a lot of people, you know, we all go through adversity, some more than others. And really the best thing to do with that is to take it and to spin it into gold. You know what I mean?
I love
do
that.
What you can and spin it into gold. So that's what I've, you know, I'm doing, and I'm no longer going to be like, hey, call Kylie. It's like, well, call Kylie and I'm going to actually get paid for doing that. But I'm real passionate about it, especially young people starting out in the entertainment world or college graduates, because I want them to be able to not go through all the stuff that I did. Because you don't know what you don't know.
Wow.
And so so those two things right now, Smooth Mortgage and also Career Pieces, is kind of where my time's being divided. And then also working on my film.
You're listening to the Leo Podcast. I'm Kevin Munoz. This ad break is brought to you by yours truly. If you enjoy the show and are looking to further show your support, and if you already haven't done so, then head on over to patreon.com/LatinAmericaNeo or my website latinamericaneo.org to join the growing Leo podcast community and receive numerous benefits and bonus content for supporting your favorite podcast, because the learning doesn't stop with this episode. There's also some awesome merch on my website, everything from shirts to coffee mugs and tote bags. All info will be at the bottom of the show notes. Now let's get back to today's episode. Wow. So, I mean, let's dissect that a little bit, right? How did you like, what do you, for people dealing with like a toxic work environment, like that's just, I feel something that maybe probably a lot of people, if not everyone, has experienced at a certain point in their career, right? How do you, how would you deal with someone? Because that's one of the services that you provide, right? Is dealing with work environment, for what you're starting and like, what, How do you deal with like a toxic work environment, right?
Yeah, so I think what you need to, going into a company, you know, the first thing you want to ask and is for their company policy. That's the first thing you want to, you want to make sure that you understand your job description, what's being asked of you, and what you can ask of them. And whether it's, if it's online, you print it out, you always want a hard copy of that. Because anything that you're doing, any company equipment, anything like that, belongs to the company. Yeah. So when someone's in the process of getting let go, guess what? They shut everything down. You don't have access to email. You don't have access. So I always tell people the company policy, go back and refer to that company policy when you start having toxicity, whether or not it's with a counterpart, you know, a peer, or with the manager, and go back to what the company policy says. When you decide to go to your manager or to human resources, always come with a idea and or solution to your concern.
Come loaded,
you know what
right?
I mean? It may be, now if this is, you know, sexual harassment, you know, if this is stealing, yeah, that, you know, that is, you know, pretty much, you know, it has to be documented. What a lot of people do is they start having a toxic work environment and they start to get very, very laxed in their job. They start to lose morale, and that's normal. But what they start to cut corners. Well, what companies look at is they look at behavior, and you're going to get let go off of behavior. So they start monitoring you. They start monitoring, you know, everything that you get. Just always assume you're being recorded, whether you're walking on the street or whether you're on the phone with somebody. Always assume that you're being recorded. That's our technology. They do that for training purposes, for legal purposes, as well. So people need to understand, I don't want to talk really about human resources, but a human resources is there to protect the company. So you've got to have the tools to protect yourself. So what you want to start doing is you want to start documenting, printing out emails. I would say every single day in a toxic work environment, write one thing down that you contributed that day. And even if it's showing up on time, even if it's a good client review, have as many things you possibly can to defend your case, if you will, and always go and say, you know what, I'm not meeting my sales goal, for example, but I looked at these things and these are some of the things I can implement. instead of just going, because people will look at it as a complaint, right? And there are true,
Right.
you know, complaints, but you want to turn that into a concern and come with an idea and our solution to how to solve that. But you really want to, as soon as you feel toxicity, you really have to up your game as far as awareness, company policy, documenting, and doing your job, even if you don't want to. Don't show up late. I mean, you've got to really, you want to be in charge of who and when you're going to leave, right? You
right.
don't want them to be in charge of that. And, you know, we're in the work environment, you know, with COVID where, you know, people were let go, you know, it's like, oh, you know, there's a virus. Now we're just going to let people go, even though our bottom line hasn't been affected. So, you know, it's the entrepreneurial world is hard. The corporate world is hard. I've done both. It's like kind of like pick your hard. But that's what I would say is make sure that you have, you know, documentation. Call someone up and say, hey, I'm going to call my manager tomorrow. Can we kind of role play the conversation? You know, somebody that you trust. And, you know, be very careful about what you post on social media. You know, I always say,
that's
because
big.
I've been part of vetting people for brands.
Okay.
So looking for discrimination, racism, crazy, this or that, whatever these brands don't want to be attached to, and what you do on social media absolutely matters. And I'm not saying you can't go out and have fun with your friends or family. I'm just saying, just everything you post, picture it on a billboard on Sunset Boulevard, right?
Okay? Yeah, be mindful, that, right?
Yeah. And so just be aware of the fact that employers, some employers will go and check out your social media and say, oh, so-and-so is complaining about how they're not, you know, they don't have the support in the workplace, but they're also at, you know, the park at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the work days are over five. A lot of people get fired over things like that. You know what I mean? But people start getting, you know, oh, well, they don't care about me. I don't care about them. But you need a livelihood. So I would say up your game, be careful with your social media. Document and talk to somebody where you can say, hey, does this conversation seem, you know, like I know what I'm talking about? And don't complain to your peers. You know, there's like, oh, you know, it's not the kumbaya of complaints, right? You want to be very careful about who you talk to and who you trust, you know, in the workforce. I mean, you know, you have to, you know, have a good attitude. If everyone's complaining, don't be a part of that. You know, it's not going to make you any money at the end of the day. So I hope that answered your question. It's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, those are some key points that people can implement today if they're finding themselves in a toxic work environment.
I love that. You dropping some free gems off the bat right here.
That's what I'm saying. This is right here,
this some free gems on the podcast here. Amazing. Oh my gosh. So did your mentoring past, because you said you worked a lot with younger people as well in mentoring them. and Career Peace, right, is kind of catered more towards a younger generation, you're saying, or is it just like an overall?
It's just everybody, you know. I wanted to do first recent graduates, but I've mentored people who are making career changes, who are older, and so I really wanted, just because the same rules apply. You know what I mean? You still got to have the right questions to ask during the interview, you know, after the interview. You still want to make sure you have the right behaviors. I don't mean behaving well or bad. I mean the right behaviors to you know, make sure that you distinguish yourself amongst your peers, but that you're protecting yourself. And then what do I need in order to prevail? So it's really just anybody who's, you know, 18 to 80, you know, anyone who's who's in the workforce. And then a lot of, you know, young artists maybe not sure how to present themselves in front of an agent, or just not feeling good about, you know, themselves, and just me having a conversation about, you know, hey, look at what you've done, and, you know, write down three things every day at the end of the day that you're grateful for. Just simple things like that have a lot to do with your, you know, your mental health and how well you're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And was there anything like where at a certain point where you were talking with like, because you're mentoring people, and I'm wondering if there was a certain point where you were like someone's story, or you heard certain like gaps that like weren't being filled in by either other companies, maybe the school or something along those lines, right? Where you were just like, I need to step in and help these youngsters. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, my sister has called me with, you know, I'm not going to say which sister, but I have talked to a lot of people who are in dangerous positions in their careers, or about to possibly lose you know, their career, and or they've lost their job and they were wrongfully terminated and they want to know what steps to take. And because I've been in, you know, a legal situation before and prevailed, you know, I know, you know, it's kind of hard. And this is why it's so important to document your successes, understand behaviors, because a lot of the times once you're already terminated or once, you know, you have it, because, you know, the first thing a lawyer is going to ask you is, well, what do you have? You know, lawyers are there to see if they can win. Lawyers aren't there for necessarily for solutions. I have lawyers in my family and people go, are you a lawyer? No, I actually have solutions. And I joke around about that. But you have to have documentation and credibility to go and do anything, because they're going to ask, well, why didn't you come to it sooner? So let me get this straight. You came to me, you know, after it was too late. No. You want to be able to have that documentation. And a lot of times, to be honest with you, once somebody goes to human resources, your days can definitely be numbered. You have to understand that. You know what I mean? But you have to be smarter than, you know, more knowledgeable than who you're dealing with. And that's really what I show people do. I've got on the phone and said, no, you don't want to do that. So yeah, I mean, I've intervened in quite a few, you know, I mean, I helped somebody write email to get away from a really top end entertainment manager, you know, I've done a lot of that. And, it's just about having the tools, but the main thing is do not, and like I said, it's easier said than done, but don't start cutting corners when stuff gets bad. You have to because they're not. You know, the corporation, they're not.
That's why
they're where they're at. But they're counting on you to guess what? Mm-hmm. To just go away or fail. And guess what? You're not going to. I mean, if you're working with me, I'm not going to let you.
Hey, I love that. You know? I love that. Yes. Tell us. That's so tough. That's something like I've always kind of pictured, right? If you go to like human resources, I actually had friends go to human resources and like they and even friends I met online as well, where they go to human resources with a certain complaint. And it's like, how do you approach human resources with your complaint, but like knowing that they're on the company's side, even though they're kind of there for you, right? You know what I mean? Like, how do you, I don't know. There's that distrust, I feel like. How do you juggle that?
Yeah. So I'm not saying every company, because there's these younger companies, and I mean, these, you know, Zuckerberg's and, you know, this great company, Lindcrest out of Arizona, where with my mortgage company, you know, we had some issues and the CEO got on the phone. I'm like, this guy's amazing. Wow. So it's not everybody, right? You know, we don't want to get into, you know, like everybody's this way, our group, you know, each group of people is that way. But you have to assume that the human resource person is employed and paid by the company. And the reason why companies have huge Bible stacked policies is because at one point or another, they were sued, or they're sued a lot. The bigger the company, the more lawsuits. Now, nobody's going to hear about them because those are called mediations where they're behind closed doors, right? It's better for a company to, especially now in the social media age, take somebody like me, right? A woman of color, single mother, do that behind closed doors. Than it is for them to see my face and for social media to blow up and for their company to tank. We've seen that happen. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you've done enough research on what's going on, right? What is my complaint? Mm. What is the goal of my complaint? You know, when I go and I make this complaint, what am I wanting to get out of it? Come with an idea and or solution if you can. Now, I'm not talking about things like racism, bigotry, sexual harassment. I'm not talking about black or white issues. You don't need to, if that's the way you're being treated, you don't need to sit there and try to compromise and talk to anybody about that. That's just flat out wrong. You know, and like, and I would say at that point, and I'm not giving any legal advice, I'm not an attorney, but at that point I would say seek legal advice, right? But you know, goals aren't right. You know, there's some retaliatory behavior. You see things you don't like. You know that if you keep going down the road, you're not going to be there in 6 months. Whatever it is, I would say have your documentation, know the goal of what you want out of it, and then make sure that you have that company policy up front, but go in there with an open mind. And also, you know, this is my concern, but here's some of the ideas and or solutions that I have. And then make sure that you've documented that day. Like I went in and talked to so-and-so at 9:45 on a Tuesday. Document that somewhere. you know, any emails that you have concerning that, you know, meeting, and sometimes it's on Zoom, ask for the recording, send that recording to your personal email. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, send anything that's saying Kevin did a great job, any contributions, make sure that you've printed those out. Are you forwarding them to your personal email? They're going to like it. They're not going to like that I'm telling you this, but their email and everything is company property. You want to make sure that you have that because you want to build your resume as well. So I know I'm kind of giving a long-winded answer here, but you always have
to. I'm learning so much myself.
Hey, for you, for you, you and I, we could talk offline. But
I appreciate that.
And I won't charge you. But anyway,
amazing.
So yeah, you just want to make sure that, you know, again, it's about documentation. You know, you want to go in there with the right attitude. But a lot of times, to be totally honest, because I believe that's the only way we can actually provide any value to people, mm-hmm. it's a lot of times your days are numbered on the first time you go. Now, you can lessen that by 80%. I'm going to be bold and say that if you've done the research and the documentation, because no company should ever underestimate an intelligent employee. Right? Because you're going to go in there.
Yes.
I mean, I, you know, was up a company that was 100 years old and worth billions of dollars. And I did my research better than they did. Not because I'm just genius whiz, but because I took the time, because I calmed down, I took a step back in my documentation, but I made sure that I had raised those concerns months prior. Right? So because they're going to ask you, well, what did you do? It's hard to have any recourse. And then once when a company wants to separate from you, a lot of the times they'll offer you some money, you know, they'll offer you, you know, a severance. And sometimes you're signing all this legal paperwork in order to get that severance, which says you can't sue. So you need a paycheck. So you're in this rock and hard place, even though they may have broken laws, guess what? You don't have any recourse. So the earlier you can prepare, don't be afraid of human resources. I don't want people to get that, but I want people just to be honest. They're for the company. And you've just got to know that you really need to learn how to protect yourself, you know, the best that you can. I mean, this isn't about being fearful. This is about being smart.
Definitely. And one of the things that I keep hearing is documentation, make sure you write down like, document everything, right? As soon as from the first day you go, first day that you think there's a concern, right? Mm-hmm. I think one of the lessons that I'm hearing here is that most likely, like, you know, document everything. And even if it's like a $1 billion company, right? That I feel like the bigger they are, the more they're going to underestimate you. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And then they just feel like they can walk over you. And if you do your research, just like you did yourself, and you come armed, then that's where their biggest mistake is, underestimating. Like,
don't underestimate a Latina. And I'm kidding.
Right.
Latina single mother.
Yeah. Even better. A single mom in general.
Like iron. Yeah. You're exactly right. They're busy, you know, but they also have lawyers, expensive lawyers, you know, they also have departments of people. And so, but that doesn't matter. You know, they still have to live. I always say, are they living by their own company policy? Mm-hmm. Because company policy mirrors law, but sometimes it's like, okay, don't wear, you know, jeans on Mondays or whatever. You know, that's their own company policy. But you want to make sure that you're also documenting. You guys aren't even following your own company policy, but you're holding me to a standard that you're not. That's why it's so important when people start a job. That's one of the first things you want to have. So you understand your job description, what's expected of you, but you also want to make sure that you're holding them. It's a two-way street. It's a, people don't understand the relationship with your employer is no different from any other relationship you have. So if communication is bad, the relationship is bad.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. And just to, so I want to know, like, for Smooth Mortgage Company, like, how did that start? Did you have a, like in real estate, like, did you have experience in that, or were you just like, this is a great opportunity and let's go with it? Like,
Yeah, no, I have absolutely no experience, you know, at all.
Amazing, yeah.
I have sales experience, but I have no experience at all in real estate, mortgage. My mm-hmm. business partner's been in the industry for almost 20 years. He's a really brilliant guy. He also went to the University of Arizona. He worked for Joe Terry, who's Oprah Winfrey's director at the time. I think he's now working for the Kelly Clarkson show. So he's been in Chicago mm-hmm. for a while. And that's when he moved out there. We got to talk and I'm like, why don't you start your own? And then he's like, well, you know, if I do, I need a partner. So I handle the marketing and the human resources
wow.
side of it. And he handles all the loan side of it. But that's launched in October
yeah.
of 2020. So it's just been over a year. So we're expanding. It's a tough business. It's commission. Yeah. It's
what a time to get build. Into it too. Like,
and it's hard to get into it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's an interesting, you know, industry, you know, they're
yeah.
regulated. I think former President Barack Obama did a great job of implementing rules to make transparency after the housing crash mm-hmm. So that, you know, borrowers are knowing what they're getting. And so it's, you know, you can't really, you know, pull a fast one on anybody, you know, anymore, but there are a lot of challenges due to what that market, you know, looks like and, you know, the rates and things like that. So you want to be smart. You want to build, you know, relationships with realtors. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm new to it. I really enjoy it. I know I'm, you know, didn't have any idea that I'd be one of the only very few owners of a mortgage company in the United States. I mean, let alone color. I mean, most of the people wow. I talk yeah. to are men. I don't mind that I work with brilliant men, but mm-hmm. I got to kind of bring other women, you know, to the table, if you will. It's an interesting space. You know, to be in, and, you know, I really enjoyed it. It is challenging, but really where my heart and soul is helping people navigate the waters of their career.
Yeah. So. I'm looking forward to just seeing you launch a career piece as well, because you're so passionate about it. Just hearing you talk about it and inspires me. And I want to hear so much about like the stories of people that you hear that you help out as well. Mm-hmm. So I want to know like what makes you feel inspired and makes you feel like your best self.
Well, what inspires me is I'm a Christian, and I just I'm a Christian because I'm not perfect. You know what I mean? So I actually need God for help. But for me, I start my morning before anything with a devotional. I read all different ones. I'm reading one on entrepreneurship right now. I read ones on how to treat other people, leadership, things like that. So I start out with a devotional every morning to get my mind straight. And then I follow, like I have some quotes, which I say to myself, which is everything is always working out for me. You know, I always say that. Or Kanye West's line is my life is, you know, I do, you know, my life is dope and I do dope, you know, and I can't really say the word, but following, you know, taking a minute, following people like you, who I'm like, this kid's a genius, you know, this is so needed
in
the space. No, you are. I'm so impressed with you. And just, you're so needed in the space. And it's just, I mean, I could go, you know, for hours talking about that, but really, my family and my daughter, because my daughter was so sick the majority of her life. She was, you know, chronically ill. It's something that's we don't really talk about. It's something that's hard for her to talk about. She's been well for the last few years, but from the age of like 4 to like just a couple years ago, she was really sick and she never complained.
Wow. You know,
and so I thought, well, neither can I. You know, so my daughter inspires me. My father, my parents lost a daughter. They've never laid in bed all day. And, you know, cried about it. And that's, if you ask them, it's because their faith in God. So that is our personal faith. But just seeing my parents, my niece is autistic. She's high functioning. Her name is Cooper. I mean, I seeing my sister work through that, my other sister working hard has a business. I just don't have room not to be inspired. You know what I mean? When I'm around people like that, and I follow you and I follow Mel Robbins, I follow people that are doing something of value. That's where I get my inspiration from, for sure.
Yeah, no, there's always room, for inspiration, honestly. No, like I said, all the things that you're doing, and the way that you go about it, everything you've accomplished and you're going to accomplish is inspiring in itself to me. So thank you for doing that and posting about it too, because you know, that's what motivates me as well, as seeing it, other people do it. And another kind of interesting question I have is like, what if you could turn back time and talk to your younger self, right? What would you tell her?
Oh, wow. Gosh. I mean, not to worry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Worry is, I mean, regardless of your belief system, right? Fear is the killer of everything. It is. And so I, you know, sing and also write, but I had this opportunity. I went to Nashville back in 2000.
What don't you do? Oh my God.
Well, okay. So, but I hate my album or whatever you want to call it. I hate it. It just, I don't like it. But anyway, I think I was putting too much pressure on myself. I was in my 20s. I kept having in my mind what that woman told me, even though I had already graduated from college.
That's tough. I mean, that's tough.
And back then there's no YouTube. I mean, I'm sounding like I'm 100 years old, but all this stuff's pretty new. There was no like, let me get my guitar and sing on YouTube. Let me get on Facebook, right? And you had to move to Nashville. You had to move to LA. Move to New York, you know, whatever city you needed to be in or what you wanted to do. And that just wasn't, I wasn't going to, it was my choice. I'm not saying that, you know, that you have to do this, but for me, I didn't want my daughter raised around strangers, you know? Yeah. So I put that music career away. And I just wish that I would have maybe not have been so fearful, because I was thinking, I live in Arizona. There's nothing going on here. I need to be in Nashville. You know, I have a child. You know, I worried about too many things, and I let my worry, you know, your thoughts become your reality. And so I would say, as a young person to my younger self, do not worry, because 99% of the stuff we worry about doesn't happen. And try every single thing that you have passion and energy for. And you really have to be like a racehorse with like the blinders, right? have to do that, especially now with the social media world of somebody looking like they have something more. Some of the most successful people are on social media. You know what I mean? Some of the most successful people have like 100 followers. So, you know, it means a lot and also means nothing at the same time. But I would say, do not worry. And that if you're not harming anyone, you're putting your best foot forward, that all things will work together for good for those who continue pursuing. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to ever finish that, you know, album or not. I'm not going to like, be like, you know, Taylor Swift, you know, I love her or anything like that, but it'd be cool to help other artists and manage them and do those kinds of things. So I would just say not to worry and not to be so, so hard on yourself. You know what I mean? And compare yourself. You're going to compare somebody, then compare it to somebody who has your exact same story. They were born on the same day. You know what I mean? There's nobody like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't compare yourself to someone who started 50 million miles ahead of you.
Yeah. And that's so tough to do too with social media. Mm-hmm. Like, as you spoke of, you know, that's so tough to do. It's especially like, because social media, the effect that it has like on our mental health as well. Mm-hmm. What are some ways that you do decompress and have hardened your mental health? I know you touched a little bit about your morning routine. And also like, what are your recommendations for people that also want to decompress and work on the mental health?
I would say to stop looking at your phone so much and try to limit the news coverage.
You know
what I mean? I think that the news coverage, we're going to start back into an election, right? And I think that caused so many people, regardless of what side you were on, we were also consumed with, you know, this and that, and that can cause a lot of depression unknowingly. So I would say, limit your news, limit the social media if it's mentally getting to you. And every night after the day's done, at least find three things that you can be grateful for. There's, you know, entrepreneurs are singing this tune, but it makes sense, you know, just even if it's like, I'm grateful because I like had pizza. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be, I'm grateful because I got a call from this business deal. I'm grateful that my family is healthy. I'm grateful for my dog. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for this exercise equipment that I bought that I haven't used yet, but I'm going to, you know, I'm grateful for the new Taylor Swift Red reclaiming her album, you know, something like that, anything that's going to, you know, bring you joy and reintroduce yourself to what you've done. I think, and then also putting yourself around people that support you. So that's how I decompress. I am not a big TV watcher. I don't have the time, honestly.
Yeah.
I got really good at boundaries. You know, when we're young,
huge.
It's like,
that's huge.
Yeah. And not being on the phone. I mean, there's a time and a place to take a personal call, but you've got to be in the same headspace too, to be able to receive whatever is being told to you.
Right.
So I've had to put boundaries on some people I've known for a long time. And if they listen to this, they're going to be like, oh, that's me. you know, for your own safety and protection of your mental health, because your mental health affects your physical health. It's science, it's biology. Yeah. And so I would say put boundaries on people, be selfish in a healthy way about your time, limit news, limit social media if you have to, and write three things that you're proud of yourself for and that you're grateful for. And that's how you kind of finish the night. And that's what I do. And sometimes I'm like, I literally have nothing, but we all do. You know, even if it's the sun's out or I heard my neighbor is doing better, those kinds of things.
Yeah, everything's perspective. I've learned that in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And that's helped me along so much, is that everything's perspective. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for dropping everything. Like, there's so many gems that you dropped for free nonetheless. Just a little snippet into what's to come, right, of Career Peace. Where can people follow your work, support you, and get in touch with you?
Yeah, so they can follow me at Kylie Romero. It's just Kylie Romero. And I know you'll share.
Yep, I'll put it on the show notes.
Social media. So Career Peace social media. I'm on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm on Facebook. And so they can connect with me on there. That's the easiest way, because I'm on there a lot. I've got to get better at posting. I've got to get, you know, like everybody else, do that whole game. But that's the best way to, you know, to get a hold of me. And then we'll set up a Zoom and I'll see where I can help you for sure.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely have that in the show notes and plastered everywhere and the marketing part of it. And anything that you also like to share that maybe we didn't touch on, but you'd like the audience as well to know, this is your time.
Yeah, I think just, you know, everybody, I think, especially with this COVID, you know, I think we just all need to give ourselves a little bit of a break, take a step back, you know, take a breath and just know that you're doing, you know, the best you can. And the best advice I always have is just one day at a time. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate so much, you know, being able to speak with you. And I'm so inspired. I see people like you and I'm so inspired. I mean, you are such a beautiful young soul. And, you know, what you're going to do, I just can't even imagine, but you're so ahead of the game and knowing what's important in your space. And we so desperately need, as a society, people like you. And I'm so glad, you know, that you're in the United States and that you're contributing what you're contributing. And I mean that from,
you're going to make me tear up over here.
Well, I'm getting ready to cry myself. I'm surprised I haven't. But no, you move me, and just your knowledge and, you know, oh my gosh, and just your finances and just everything that you're trying to teach people, you know, you need to be, and you will be known on a much bigger space.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and a follow on Spotify. It helps me tremendously in order to bring more awareness and educational resources to our community. For more information and to stay up to date with what I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram at LatinAmericaNail. And if you need more information and resources, you can visit my website, LatinAmericaNail.org. I'm Kevin Munoz. This has been the Leo Podcast, and I'll see you next time. This podcast is not investment advice, and I am not a qualified, licensed investment advisor. All information on here, including any ideas, opinions, views, predictions, forecasts, commentaries, suggestions, or stock picks expressed or implied are for informational, entertainment, or educational purposes only and should not be construed as personal investment advice. Conduct your own due diligence or consult a licensed financial advisor or broker before making any and all investment decisions. Any investments, trades, speculations, or decisions made on the basis of any information found on this podcast, expressed or implied, are committed at your own risk, financial or otherwise.